Keep your Bibles open, please. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this word this morning that we've heard. And I pray, Father, that we take heed of its warning. Amen. Today, as we celebrate Remembrance Day, it brings into sharp focus, amongst other things, how destructive mankind can be. Remembrance Day reminds us of a terrible past that very few of us have ever lived or have memory of, but affords us today something that we can enjoy, most of us anyway. As we remember and recite in chorus, "We will remember them," I ask the question, what do we remember? Remember such days for the lives and relationships that were ruined and continue to be ruined by the atrocities of men, government, and peoples of this world who persist to ignore the one who makes us good. The person that sets us free from the tyranny of war, hate, death, and even extinction is the same person we innately reject and despise. To love God, Creator, above all else, and to love each other as ourselves seems an ancient, primitive way when compared to a modern, sophisticated world whose primeval chant is to love yourself. Yet God's way is the only way of life that gives humanity a real hope of tomorrow. In our obsession with self-promotion, with self-preservation, what hope is there in the war against genocide, ethnic cleansing, disease, poverty, slavery, abuse, discrimination, and for a world exploited without consideration of the biodiversity of life? I am not saying this is some of us, nor am I saying this is none of us. I am saying this is all of us. Can man's ingenuity save us from our own selfishness and greed? I think you know the answer to that. Every generation blessed with social, scientific, and political innovations are cursed by self-interest and greed. At the center stage this morning of our text is a man, a prophet named Micah. And his name is a question that needs an answer in the context of man's desire to ruin himself. Micah means, who is like God? This is the question this morning that, when suitably answered, provides the solution to the problems faced by mankind. Men, governments, peoples, who is like God? Well, in Micah's time, a people who had experienced the love and tenderness and protection of God, not for the first, not for the last time, turned its back on God. Micah speaks out in this moral and spiritual decline, championing the rights of the underprivileged, but most importantly, he champions justice. Micah knows God to be the only one who can finally balance the demands for justice with the expansiveness of grace and mercy. Who will be spared from the price of this rebellion? Only God knows the inner workings of the heart of men. And as we investigate this book of Micah, it gives us a time and a place. It gives us a setting. We have the time of the rule of three kings, and we have two countries represented by their capitals. We are transported to a place that is very different to what it is now. Samaria and Jerusalem are the capitals of Israel and Judah, once a united kingdom under one king. The last king to govern this united kingdom was Solomon. And under his rule, the cracks of division begin to form. North and south are beginning to separate, and it's been magnified. The constituents of these cracks are always present in society. These are the ingredients of rebellion and war. We have this morning, in this first chapter of Micah, a prophecy which marks the beginning of the end of a nation that has turned inwards against itself and outward against God. And as we reflect on the scars of various conflicts which mark Remembrance Sunday, it doesn't take a forensic examination to identify the very same scars, the very same evidence which destroyed Israel and Judah in us. There are 12 kings of Judah, approximately 12 years between Solomon and the kings we find in our passage today. We have Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Judah, the southern kingdom, fares out a bit better than its northern counterpart, in that overall, it had fairly better kings. Nevertheless, in the days of these kings of Judah, the people flipped and flopped in their commitment and devotion to God. And this remained the situation in the time of Micah's prophecy. The combined span of the kings that we mentioned was about 40 to 50 years. And in that time we find, one, Jotham, a good king who ignored the sins of the people. Two, Ahaz, a bad king who oppressed and encouraged the sins of the people. And three, Hezekiah, a good king who turned the people back to God. From the respective relationships between these three kings, the people, and God, we can see God's power and his love. Irrespective of the kings of Micah's time, the people were bent to follow their own way. And isn't it sad? It's sad. Isn't it really sad? It's a sinful story of man. The Bible describes man's heart, left without God's powerful intervention, as deceitful and desperately wicked. It only stands to reason then. The only real hope for man is a heart that is supernaturally changed. What required here, or what is required, is a spiritual, surgical removal of an old heart in exchange for one inscribed, made by God. Micah not only warns of Judah's ominous fate, but also calls for the nations to see the workings of God's justice. The nation's wickedness and sin will surrender to the Lord's God's perfect righteousness. Israel and now Judah's unrighteousness against God and wickedness and against each other has reached a calamitous edge. God cannot stand by and watch the faithful suffer, nor can he stand by and watch the faithless drunk in rebellion and sin. For a faithful God, the only solution is justice. Hear, you peoples, all of you, pay attention, O earth, and all that is in it, Micah shouts. He calls out. The Lord God is watching as he sees the injustices meted out against his people and the rebellion against him. The Lord God needs no witnesses to testify, because his eyes are roving. He sees the hearts of all men, every single one. He is the perfect witness and the perfect judge. Why? Because who is like God? No one. There is no form of justice governed by man that will ever suffice. No economic justice, no environmental justice, no retributive justice underscored by the frailties of man that will ever eradicate poverty, fix our environment, or bring us peace, stop wars, or save us. When that day comes, we will know it as a new age, all bowing to the only king that truly matters, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Micah speaks into a time and place very far and very different to us in so many ways, and its people that has not changed. Are we not just like the Judeans and Israelites, going about our daily lives consumed by what we can have for ourselves, possessed to do whatever we please? For Judah, there was neither excuse nor escape. Who is like God? He is the only one that can overthrow creation, trampling and melting mountains at will, the Bible says. Judah is no better than Israel. They are one kingdom separated in two. But the warnings of the peoples to the peoples from the prophets are like Micah, are ignored. The corruption seemed to be spreading. It's spreading from the capitals to the countryside, from Samaria into Israel, from Jerusalem into Judah. Micah senses and warns of an idolatry that is contagious. It is an idolatry that violates the honor and relationships between men and between men and God. But the Lord God will not allow his reputation to be mocked or dishonored. And so without true repentance, Judah will experience a fate like that of Israel. God will deal justly with north or south, east or west, Suffolk or Norfolk, England or Scotland, United Kingdom or United Europe. Samaria's fate is desolation. The Bible says its big city structures are flattened at the hands of its enemies. And all this is orchestrated by the hand of the Lord. Where once stood imposing structures of a thriving city, now lies in waste, bare foundation, no buildings and no people. Where there were carved images and money and other idols produced from the fruit of sinful practices, these will be destroyed, but only to be the fees of its conquerors. The Lord God allowed another idolatrous nation, the Assyrians, to exact justice on Israel. But there will come a time when all nations will be judged. So Micah, witnessing the destruction in Israel, Samaria, now walks naked, barefooted, crying out like an animal at the gates of Jerusalem, pleading for his nation, warning his nation. His mourning is a hopeful warning, but a resigned cry. He knows it's finished. Judah's time has come. Its rebellion against God, incurable, the Bible says. Jerusalem has succumbed to its sinful living, and now the whole country follows. And so Micah calls out to the country to mourn in readiness for God's justice. It will happen. Weep, he says, not Gath. Weep, roll in the dust, Beth-lepharah. Strip naked, Shephar. Stay inside, Zainan. Bethesel will lament for you. Marath, wait for good news at the gates of Jerusalem. Get ready to run, Lachish, and leave your offering with Moresh Gath, because Israel's sin was first found in you. Moresh Gath, prepare to be deceived. You will not get your promised reward. Marisha, prepare to be conquered. Israel's fate, exile, will come to Adullam. Shave your heads. There is no escape. What we see here is God's inescapable justice on Judah for its wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Israel's fate is now Judah's fate, because Israel's sin is also Judah's sin. In the aftermath of this impending doom, Assyria took all that belonged to Judah in waves of conquest, taking away animals, crops, personal possessions, and people until the land was desolate. Micah's warning continues. It doesn't promise escape for Judah. Instead, it guarantees captivity. Who is like God? No one. He is the only one able to keep all his promises, because he is above all powers. The omnipotent one, the all-powerful one. From this text, we see that God is both merciful and just. Even when not deserved, he extends mercy. Even when the judgment is about to be exacted, he extends grace. He does this through his prophet, Micah, who warns his people. The Lord God will ultimately show plainly to his people how they will be rescued to be with him forever. We honor Remembrance Sunday for God's deliverance from evil men and evil powers. God's creation has turned in on itself because of its selfishness and greed. Its carved images are the insatiable modern possessions it craves for. Never, never enough. Its wealth, the monetary systems of this world used to own people, places, and possessions. Its idols, anything that masquerades as the true God. Man's inability to broker peace is because he searches for it in the wrong places, in the wrong people, in the wrong things. His desire for self-governance far outweighs any admission of his needs to be governed, to be ruled. There is no peace, no real peace, when there is injustice, and there is no real justice outside of the Lord God. As we commemorate the lives of the many lost to the greed and selfishness of wicked men, let us not forget the ingredients of war. Conflict still thrive today. Our warning comes to us from Micah. The conflict is all around us, from the east to the west, north to south, left and right, and less obvious inside. Conflicts will always be with us, great or small, if our hearts are not made new. Who is like God? Those who submit to have the heart of God. Those with the heart of God will see the lives of others more to be cherished than their own. They will see God as their true sovereign, to be worshipped, to be praised, to be glorified. Yes, today we will remember our fallen for what they have done to help preserve our democracy, under which we now thrive. But I beg you, my brothers and sisters, to remember them for one more thing, as a warning of a conflict yet still to come. I want us to remember not just the lives lost to physical death, but also the lives lost to spiritual death that will come to those who do not heed the warning of a final great day. That great day when only God sees and does all the remembering, not for what we have done, but for what God has done to change our hearts. A remembrance day in which we celebrate the gift of perpetual life. forever to forget hurt, pain of yesterday. Who is like God? He is the Lord, Micah says, who steps out of heaven and will come down and flatten the hills of the earth under his feet. And the mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will split open like wax before the fire, like waters poured down a steep place. Micah's warning is clear. God will judge the nations. The question is, who can stand before him? Who is like God? He's the one that we eagerly await for deliverance, because he is our refuge and strength. Who is like God? He is the one that has made a way for us through which justice is perfect. Mercy has true forgiveness, and grace is undeserved. Who is like God? He is the one that provides for us a cure for the incurable sin, for the incurable wound. Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. I'd like to close with these words from Robert Binion. They shall grow not old as we are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. In all of that, let us remember him. Amen.